Turn with me, if you would, to the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Let us pray as we continue with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Let us pray. Gracious God, your teaching through Christ in the Sermon on the Mount teaches us how to deal with conflict. Show us a better way. Show us your way to replace your way with our ways and your ways with the ways of the world. May your scripture speak to us this morning and speak truth to the injustice and falsehood of our world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you. And do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever." So there once was a brother and a sister, and the sister had pulled the little boy's hair, and they had both gone running to mom. The little boy was crying, and the mother said about the younger sister, said, "You know, she doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't even know that it hurts." So this calmed the little boy down, and the boy and the girl ran off and began to play again. Almost immediately, the mother heard screaming from the little girl from the other room. She goes running in and asks the little boy, says, "What's going on here?" And he said, "You said she doesn't know what it feels like to have her hair pulled. She does now." People have their favorite verses. Sometimes people might call them their life verse or something like that. It might be John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life." That'd be a good candidate. Maybe Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Micah 6:8, "What does the Lord require of you? Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God." We could go on and on. Philippians 4:13. They once asked our current president in Rochester, New York. This was Bob Lonsberry. This is in April of 2016. They said, "Mr. Trump, do you have a favorite Bible verse or Bible story that has informed your thinking or your character through life, sir?" He said, he had to think for a minute, and he said, when asked about his favorite verse, he said, "I guess I would have to say it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." To be clear, this is a Bible verse. He did okay with that, because it's not like God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible, right? An eye for an eye is. And we read that from the Old Testament this morning. But I dare say the president is not alone in being able to recite this verse. Most people probably have some knowledge of the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, have heard this or think they've heard it. And it might be their ethic for daily life. The ethic of eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is, "You hit me, I hit you back. You hurt me, I hurt you back." But Jesus came to show us a different way from the scripture. The toughest people in life are those who can maintain their integrity and follow these teachings. Now, to be clear, our first Old Testament lesson used that text, Maybe you thought today I was going to preach on oxen. That is not an oxen. This is not an oxen sermon. No oxen will be harmed in this sermon, nor will they even be mentioned other than now. But an eye for an eye was originally a teaching that was meant for proportion and justice. In other words, if you put out my eye, I can't kill you. I can only put out another eye. It was meant to be fair. All you can do is get back at people proportionately. Vengeance and revenge run in dangerous cycles. Things escalate. The Hatfields and the McCoys. Who remembers what that started over? Probably nobody. The Irish and the English. Sunnis and Shiites. Protestants and Catholics. Blacks and whites. You get the picture. Nobody remembers how it started. Everybody wants to annihilate everybody else. Everybody wants vengeance. And there's got to be a better way. Jesus gives it here. Turn the other cheek. You may ask, who has ever done that in their life? Who has turned the other cheek? Who was willing to give up both sides of their face in order to prevent the escalation of the cycle of violence? It happened famously twice in the 20th century. Gandhi in India, his people outnumbered those who were ruling them, or in the civil rights movement in the 20th century. They were willing to suffer for what is right. Last Saturday at Jim King's funeral, I shared a story of a time when Jim took Jesus' words seriously. At our Bible study, Jim told us an arresting story. In high school, his friend, and we think this might be over a girl, his friend told him to meet him after school in the schoolyard to fight. And the whole school, I imagine it from like an 80s high school movie, the whole school would gather to see this fight. But I since learned that there weren't that many people because there were only 20 people in Jim's graduating class. But anyway, his friend demanded that they fight, and Jim didn't want to be a chicken, so he was going to show up, but still didn't want to fight. This was his friend. So Jim met his friend and told him that he didn't want to fight there in the schoolyard, but the friend insisted. So Jim dropped his hands and let his friend hit him. Jim got back up, dropped his hands again, and said, I'm still not going to fight you. Rather than be angry, he offered his other cheek. And his friend took his other cheek, hit him again. But Jim got back up and told the friend still he wouldn't fight. The friend was shocked, almost horrified. He walked away the loser of the fight, and he was the one who had thrown two punches. Jim was the bigger person. The friend was overwhelmed by his peacemaking. Real violence was averted, and they remained friends throughout the years. Jesus is telling us his way is nonviolence. If you're looking for a faith of violence, following Christ is not it. In the face of Roman occupation and mistreatment by their own leaders, Jesus preached nonviolence. Jesus' preaching is about giving over and above taking. The scriptures say that someone cannot take certain things from you as leverage or collateral. For instance, in the Old Testament, no one could take your cloak as collateral for a loan. And Jesus is saying, not only give them your outside garment, but give them your inside garment as well. I'm not exactly sure I've seen this one done, but I know what it means. And I've maybe tried it in my own life. When our friend Emerson was here from Guatemala and preached several years ago, we were in my office, and Emerson saw my Greek to English lexicon. Now, I know what it is to ship something to Guatemala. We would always bring the things to Guatemala in our suitcases, because if you sent them through the mail, they may or may not get there. One point in Guatemala, for instance, the post office just closed and they stopped sending mail at all. So he looked at this lexicon. I turned to my shelf, reached onto the shelf, grabbed my Greek lexicon, and gave it to him. Didn't want anything back. Didn't really care what it cost. I think it's something like that that Jesus is talking about. When we know someone is in need of something, to give it. Jesus' teaching goes on with going the extra mile. We think of that text as working harder, a kind of a customer service mantra. But in Jesus' day, the Roman army could make you carry their gear for 1 mile legally. Jesus' advice to carry another mile puts the Roman soldier in jeopardy due to the kindness that was shown. The soldier's not supposed to take him that other mile. I have to say also, when Jesus says, give to those who are begging from you, that one is even tougher these days. I was in Roanoke recently at two different intersections, and I saw the same person one day being dropped off at the intersection so that he could beg, and the next day he was at another intersection at a different point of Roanoke. How do you discern this commandment to give to this beggar? I don't exactly know. I'm generally careful with this one, because perpetuating bad behavior is not good. Money is not what everybody needs. Generally, the beggars in Jesus' day were disabled in some way, unable to work, needing the generosity of strangers. Today, that can be more complicated. Usually those people are taken care of in some way by the state. You have to discern with love and your heart what to do in these cases. Do what is good without hurting as best you can. Give and don't take. Borrowing is also something that is tougher to translate today. In Jesus' own day, borrowing was generally done between people, not banks. Like lending to family, for instance. If someone came to me and asked if they should let their family member borrow money, I would probably say no. Collecting a debt on a family member is not great. No one wants to be their own family's debt collector. Just give it to them if you're able. Proverbs says the borrower is slave to the lender. So don't enslave your family members if you can help it. If you're a borrower, avoid unsecured credit if you can. That's wise. But on the other hand, Jesus is talking about what had been happening in his own land. With Jubilee years coming every 7 and 50 years, debts would be forgiven. And the temptation was in the 6th year, not to make a loan to anyone. Why? Because you wouldn't get any interest and your debt would disappear. Your credit would disappear from this other person. So Jesus is calling for generosity. Being willing to give and lose money for what is right, for helping others to survive and thrive. Imagine we had a Jubilee year in this country and in our world today, where all debts were forgiven and everyone could start over from scratch. In that situation, do you stand to lose something? Do you stand to gain? How generous would you be on that day? And how attached to your stuff are you? Now to the good part. Jesus is now combating the things that are not scripture when he says, love your neighbor, when he talks about love your neighbor and not hate your enemy. Because the hate your enemy part, if you look through the Old Testament, that's not in there. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth is in there. Hating your enemy is not. It's a gross misuse of scripture. Loving our neighbors is easy and biblical. Hating our enemies is not easy, but it's still biblical. The neighbors that God is talking about are those who are in proximity to us. Again, we often live by this truism that Jesus is quoting, even though we don't confess it. We often love our neighbors and hate our enemies. Jesus is asking us to turn that on its head. To love your enemies first, and then love your friends and neighbors. Because that is the real challenge of the Scripture. What does God do? Jesus points out. God gives sun and rain to everybody, good or bad. Oftentimes, the bad have more than the good. People aren't evil because they're poor, nor are they good because they're rich, and vice versa. Jesus wants us to pray for our enemies. And in praying for them, change our own attitudes so that maybe one day theirs will change as well. This may be the hardest teaching that Jesus teaches in all of Scripture. Because we are not supposed to hate our enemies. We're supposed to love them and care for them. In your imagination, think of the one person that you think of as your worst enemy. You've got them. They're taking up rent in your head right now. I know they are. You're thinking about them. If that person comes to mind, pray for that person. Change the way that you think, act, and feel towards them. This is the way that Jesus changes the world. This is the way that we repent. And this is the way that the kingdom is brought from at hand to being present. When there are no more enemies on this earth, when there is no more vengeance and violence on this earth, when there is no more stealing and hitting and bad words, when instead everyone loves one another as their neighbor. Jesus says, between loving God and loving neighbor, that's what the law demands. That's what Jesus is calling for in this teaching. Now, a final warning based on the last verse of this text. The NRSV says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect as God is perfect. That is a tall order because God is perfect and we are imperfect. And as a recovering perfectionist, I want you to maybe think of this text a little differently through a different translation, because some of you may struggle with perfectionism like I have over the years, trying to be perfect and thinking that I'm not good enough. That's not what Jesus is demanding of you today. Another word for perfect here is complete. The word that's used in Greek here means end or goal. So reach the goal, strive for the goal of being like God as God already is. Being like God, acting like God, is what Jesus wants for us. Be more like God in how God wants you to be. Because to be more like God is to be more forgiving and merciful, and have loving kindness, and to care, to be sacrificial, and to serve others. If we do these things, we will be more like God. And that is Jesus' goal for us here, to be more like our Father who's in heaven, and to follow God's will so that the kingdom will not only be in heaven, but the kingdom will be here too. Let us pray. Lord God, you have called us not to take vengeance on others, but instead to reach out to others in love, to love our neighbors, and to see our enemies as our neighbors, and to see them as people who need love. Make us more and more day to day like you. Call us to repentance. Change us and transform us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. in whose name we pray. Amen.